The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You know, I've enjoyed our Bible study on knowing the Holy Spirit. All of them have been uploaded on our website. I would encourage you to go back and listen to several of them, in particular the one on the Holy Spirit in control. That would help you to understand how the Holy Spirit is the one that can be in control and how he cannot be in control. Now tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and conviction. Let's go back to our Bible tonight for our Wednesday evening Bible study. In the book of John chapter 16 verses 8 through 11, the Bible says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and they see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so God does many things to be able to help us as believers to know and to flee sin. He uses many things at his disposal to be able to help us to know what is wrong, why it's wrong, and why we should not participate in that element of wrong. There's a progression, you'll see it tonight in your Bible, as God tries to steer us so that we can be more like Christ, so that we can identify as to the way that God would have us to identify, being the light of the world and a Christian testimony. And so I want us to pay attention tonight to notice some things as we look at the progression of how God gives a warning. We call it conviction, but how God gives a warning and how God fires a shot across the bow to help us to understand this is not the right thing to do. Now watch this, if you will, as we study tonight, statement number one, the conscience, the conscience. Watch this, Romans chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, which show the work of the law written in our hearts. So the work of the law is written in our hearts. By the way, it's written in the heart of every man. You can see this. It says, their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts. The meanwhile, it says, accusing or else excusing one another. The Bible continues in verse 16, in the day that when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. And so the conscience, if you would please, is the kindergarten of conviction. You cannot put a verse behind it. You cannot understand it necessarily, nor can you explain it, but you just feel like as a Christian, you shouldn't participate in it. Now, what is that? That's a conscious awareness of something is wrong. Now, God put that in every person. In every person, okay? Now, when you get saved, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit now uses that conscious awareness and he sharpens it all the more, because now you're identifying in your being, you're identifying in yourself that God is right. And you're going to see how he uses the Word of God to even make it more keenly aware of you as to what is right and what is wrong. Now, there is people that have a seared conscience. The Bible talks about that, all right, where they just decide that they're going to not obey, or they live a reprobate life to the point and to the place where God sears their consciousness. But here you see that it's a part that God has given us instinctively to help us to understand what is wrong. Now, he tells us what not to do. Okay, that's that conscious awareness. He tells you, a young person picks up a cigarette, puts it to the mouth, and all of a sudden you start to feel like, especially as a Christian, I should not be doing that. A young person picks up liquor, puts it to the mouth, and all of a sudden the young person feels, well, I just don't feel like I should be doing that. You turn on a film or some type and a movie, if you will, and it has wrong things being displayed across the screen, and all of a sudden there's a conscious awareness. A young person, if you would, growing up in the home, they've heard the rules. They know the law, if you would please, of the home, and now they decide they're going to break the rule. They decide they're going to break the law that's in the home. There's a conscious awareness that that is wrong, okay? So it tells us that way, if you will, by way of the Holy Spirit, He is the one that shows us. And that consciousness, that awareness, it tells us that we're not doing what we should do. It accuses us, if you will. When in a situation that you should not be in, many times God will use your conscience to simply tell you, you should not be here. When doing something that you should not be doing, many times God will use your consciousness, your awareness of that, if you will, to tell you that this is not a desirable place. And so here's what the Holy Spirit does. He uses your conscience to be able to tell you, leave, leave, get away from that. You're not supposed to be a part of that. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, the Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, it says to God, it says purge your consciousness, it talks about, or your conscience, from dead works to serve the living God. So now we understand this. You might not completely understand how to serve God, but I believe that every believer that has ever been saved has a conscious awareness that you're supposed to do something for God. You have a conscious awareness that God has something for you to do. Now, you might not can pinpoint it. You might not can put it on a map. You might not can be able to explain it. But there's a conscious awareness that God has something for you to do. All right? Now, so there's the conscience that God, that's called the kindergarten conviction, if you will, please. All right? Statement number two. Then comes the Bible. The Bible. Romans chapter 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by which is good. It says that sin by the commandment might, listen to it now, mightly it says, become exceeding sinful. All right, so I'm over here and I'm starting to pick something up that I should not pick up, and I just don't feel right about it. And then all of a sudden, preacher gets up and he begins to preach, and now he shows in the Bible why that is wrong. Now what happens? I'm aware that this that I'm trying to pick up is not just something I should not pick up. Now I'm aware that was sin. I should not touch that because that was sin. Now, how do I get that? I get that through old-fashioned Bible preaching. Where somebody gets up and somebody tells you, this is what the Bible says. All right, so wait a minute. Now, you have a conscious awareness. Oh, I shouldn't do that. I can't explain it. But I just don't feel like I should. Now, I was a lost boy. I didn't get saved until I was 18 years of age. I was a Catholic boy, you know that, and an altar boy for 5 years, whole nine yards. But I made some decisions at the age of 16, 2 years prior to being saved. I made some decisions about not drinking and not smoking and not doping. All right, I made some decisions. All right, now wait a minute. And then all of a sudden when I got saved, I started going to a Baptist church. When the preacher got up and he started to preach on things like that, now it made sense. Because now the Word of God showed me that it's just not a good thing to do. It's just not a bad thing to do, but it was a sinful thing to do. And now it made sense because the Bible is the anchor of that which should be the foundation for every believer. So we understand here where the Bible talks about, first there's the conscious awareness, that's kindergarten conviction, especially for the believer. Now, the unbeliever can have a conscious awareness that there is a God, can have a conscious awareness that there is a creator. but they don't have a conscious awareness of the things that are right and the things that are wrong. Now, when they hear the truth, here's what happens. When somebody hears the truth about God and they hear the Word of God and they understand the need of Christ as their Savior, then what God does is God, if you would please, illuminates that mind, helps them to understand that now they need the truth that's preached from the Bible about Jesus Christ. So kindergarten conviction, what is that to the believer? Well, to the believer, it's I'm in a situation, I know I shouldn't be there, I know I shouldn't be doing this, I know I shouldn't be touching that, I really don't understand why. Then all of a sudden I come to church, I hear a Sunday school teacher get up, I hear a preacher get up, I hear somebody open the Bible, I hear somebody take the Bible and explain what the Bible teaches, and now that conscious awareness makes sense to me because the Bible showed me it is exceeding sinful. So now I understand. Oh, the conscious awareness would make me to understand I don't need to be in that given situation. But the Bible shows me why I don't need to be in that given situation. Here's the problem today. People are not in their Bible. You know, if people was in their Bible, can I tell you something, dear friend? What would happen is that they would have a desire to live more for God. Why? Because now they have substance to stand upon. You show me the believer begins to become more liberal in the way that they love their Savior and the way that they stand. And I'll show you that there's a believer that is not harnessed up to the Bible and in the Bible and letting God be able to help them. Now, I'm saying this tonight. Here's what we understand. So that conscious awareness, what does it do? It shows me, well, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be touching that. I shouldn't be going that direction. But now, when you add the Bible to it, now I understand the why. The consequences of sin. The conscious awareness, if you would please, says stop it. You don't understand why you're supposed to stop it. All you know is you just don't feel like that you should pursue it. And so you want to stop it. Then all of a sudden you hear Bible preaching. And now you understand why you should stop it. Why? Because God exactly shows you what is right to do. He shows you the direction in which to be able to go in. All right? Then we see this. There's the conscious awareness of it, talking about conviction, talking about truth. And then there's the Bible. And then here comes our Lord. Here comes Jesus. Statement number 3. So the Bible says, and Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the, watch it now, the rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken, it says, against. Now watch this. In verse 35, we're in Luke chapter 2. Yea, a sword shall pierce through, it says, thy own soul also, and the thoughts, it says, of many hearts shall be revealed. So wait a minute. First, there's the conscious awareness. Well, I just don't understand why it's wrong. I just don't feel right about doing it. I just don't think I ought to do that. I just don't feel like that is the direction I ought to go. And I go to church or I read my Bible, and all of a sudden, God begins to show me in the Bible, this is why you should not do that. This is why you should not do that. All right, now wait a minute though, it doesn't stop there. Then as we see Jesus walking through the Bible, we see a pattern in which to follow. So not only is God going to say, okay, you shouldn't do it, not only is God going to say exactly what you shouldn't do, he's going to give you the way out. Amen. Did not Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's going to show you the way out. And by the way, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can say amen. Amen. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. All right. So not only do I understand that something's wrong, not only do I see now in the Bible what is wrong, but now all of a sudden God begins to give me a pattern to be able to know how to do that which is right by studying my Savior. Because in the Bible, God is going to use our Savior to be able to show us what direction in which to go, a pattern in which to follow. The Apostle Paul was talking to those that was following him. Now, he made a comment that's similar to the one I'm about to make. He said, as I follow Christ, you follow me. There was a pattern. Several times in the Bible, you see that Jesus Christ, He said to follow me. He said to follow his steps. Okay, so here I am. I'm walking around. I just don't feel right about this. I just don't think I ought to do it. I really can't explain it. But then all of a sudden, I go to Sunday school. I go to a preaching service. I go to a revival. I go to a missions conference. And now all of a sudden, the Bible is preached. In my own Bible reading, I begin to see it. And God begins to bring it to light. And as God begins to bring it to light, and I study my Bible, I see how Jesus walked and how I'm supposed to follow the very pattern of Christ. And as I follow the pattern of Christ, what takes place is he leads me in the right direction. Now, wait a minute. Then there's the Holy Spirit. Look at this in your Bible, if you will. We're in John chapter 16 and verse 18. The Bible says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So now we call the Holy Spirit, if you would be. By the way, we've gone from kindergarten, conscious awareness, to growing up, and now we've entered into the university, if you will. Because you see, as I have that conscious awareness of, I'm not supposed to do that, I'm not supposed to touch that, I'm not supposed to be there. All right? And then the preaching comes along, it confirms in my heart that that is right, and I should go the right direction. By the way, and then through the preaching, I see patterns. Now, not just of our Savior, but primarily of our Savior, but not just of our Savior, but you see our Savior working patterns through other people. As you study Paul, Paul would not be what Paul was if it was not for the Savior. Peter would not be what Peter was if it was not for the Savior. Amen. Stay with me now. You would not be what you are except for the Savior. Amen. Because of the Savior, you and I are patterns for other people to follow or to trip over. We have to decide what type of pattern we're going to be. We have to decide what type of shadow. You remember the story? How they brought many on couches and many in beds, and they laid them down beside the roadside, hoping only that the shadow of Peter might fall upon them. Well, a shadow is like a testimony. And everywhere you go, you cast a shadow somewhere. Somebody watches, somebody sees, somebody decides to copy a shadow. So here's what we understand. There's a conscious awareness. And then all of a sudden, wow, I never read that before in the Bible, but now I see it. Oh, wow, that's God that did that. And so now, because of my conscious awareness, I understand, oh, this is what God said. I want to obey it all the more because God knows more than I do. Amen. God has more wisdom than I do. Oh, you ought to thank God if you're a young person tonight if you got a saved daddy. Amen. You ought to thank God tonight if you're a young person, you have a saved mama. You ought to thank God tonight if you're a young person, you have a saved teacher in school. You ought to thank God tonight if you're a young person, you have somebody that's saved, that's your bus captain, yay, your Sunday school teacher, yay, a person that's a choir director, and all those. Why? Because all those will show you a pattern in which to follow. Amen. Now, but if it was not for the Lord, there'd be no pattern. So here's what we understand. We understand conscious awareness. Oh, I just don't understand. I don't understand. Can't figure it out for the life of me. I just can't figure out why, but I just don't feel right, that I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. I just feel like I need to get out of there. You can't explain it, but you know it. And then all of a sudden, you hear Bible preaching on it. You hear Bible teaching on it, or you read it in your Bible, or somebody shows you a verse. And now all of a sudden, it makes a little bit more sense. Because now God is using that to build conviction. And then we're supposed to walk, if you would please, in the image of Christ. All right, so as we study Christ and those that were changed, their lives were changed because of the Savior of the world becoming their Savior. What takes place is now we have a pattern to follow in Jesus. Then you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you will please, is now the university of conviction. Here's the steps. First, there's that conscious awareness. And then there's the Bible. And then there's Jesus as our model. Now the Holy Spirit adds a complete different dimension. He not only shows you what is wrong, he shows you what is right. Amen. He shows you the direction that you ought to go. How many times have I said this in Bible teaching and Bible preaching? And it's so it is tonight that the Word of God is going out, but the Holy Spirit of God gives it personal application. Personal application. The preacher may preach something in a general sense. The evangelist that we have, or a missionary that we have, may preach it in a general sense. But the Holy Spirit gives personal application. You can be sitting there, and God, through His Holy Spirit, will take and show you something that didn't show anybody else. Something He wants you to change in your life. A direction He wants you to go in your life. And nobody else got that but you. All right? Now, I'm saying this. So the Holy Spirit gives personal application. So from the Holy Spirit, He adds a total new dimension. What is that? Oh, yes, He shows us that the sin is wrong. Oh, yes, He does. But He specifically shows us where to go and what to do. That's the Holy Spirit. So there's the progression, if you would please. There's the conscious awareness. There's the Bible. There's Jesus as the pattern. There's the Holy Spirit, which now shows you the desirable place in which to go. Now it's like you're going down the road, and all of a sudden, your speedometer goes out. You can't figure it out. You're pinging it. You just can't figure it out. But because you're passing everyone, and everyone seems to be slower than you, there's a conscious awareness of, I think I better slow down. Is that right? Now you don't have anything to guide you. The speedometer is out. It's gone. But you just have this sense about you that I just think I need to kind of slow down. And why am I passing people like they're sitting still or like their grandma's driving in reverse down the highway? What is going on? And so you know, you just kind of figure, conscious awareness. Oh, but then all of a sudden now, you see, if you will, that which is a road sign that says 70 miles an hour. And now you're becoming more aware that, well, maybe these people are actually obeying the law. That was from a 7-year-old. And then all of a sudden you see somebody and they just look like they're very sincere, and they're setting a pattern. They just don't look like they'd be like somebody that would ever break the speed limit. So now you can identify, okay, that's probably the truth that I should steer myself by, and I'll be okay until I get this thing fixed. All right? And so you follow the pattern. Oh, wait a minute. And so you had a faulty speedometer. Oh, and there's a conscious awareness. Oh, I think I just probably need to slow down. And then you see a speed limit as you're passing by. And it's like, oh, okay, that reminds me about what I should do. And maybe these other people are doing it too. So I've got that which is the truth of the speed limit. I've got a pattern in which to follow as everybody else. And I found me somebody that looks like that they're doing right. And so there's a good pattern for me to follow. Then all of a sudden, I know that I need to get that thing fixed, and so I go to someone, and that someone fixed the speedometer problem, and now my life is happy. Amen. See, the Bible will show you the truth. Now, wait a minute, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to the where to fix it. Stay with it now. How many of you have ever had something break in your car? Now, be honest with me. How many of you have ever had something break in your car or on your car, and you should have fixed it, but you put it off? Raise your hand. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, can I tell you, and some didn't raise their hand because they don't have a car. But can I tell you, watch this. Can I tell you, when you become aware of something, it is better to take care of it than just let it go. Now, that's in relationship. That's in friendship. When God points something out as truth, you'd be better to take care of it than to put it off. There is blessings in store for those who do. So may I say, we understand that God gives us a conscious awareness, and then he adds to that the Bible and shows us specifically. Then he gives us an example through Christ, and also from all those that have believed on Christ as Savior, as having changed lives and trying to live for God. And then we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that directs us in the acceptable way to go. You ever see a Christian that's just downright right with God? I mean, they're happy, they're content, they're not worried, they're not struggling. I visit people in the hospital, and some people, oh, I'm so glad you came. I'm glad you came. Oh, I needed you to be here. Oh, I'm fearful. I'm so scared. I visit other people in the hospital, and they say, why'd you come? I went up to visit Brother Jones in the hospital. Well, preacher, it's good to see you. I'm glad you come, but why'd you come? He was perfectly content with what the Savior was doing. And I just came along just to kind of add a little bit of topping to the cake. And he ate the cake. Popcorn. You ate the popcorn. I took him popcorn. Okay? All right. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying this. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit of God will use many things to shine the light. The Holy Spirit of God will use many things to be able to direct us down the right path. The Holy Spirit of God should not be foreign to you as a believer in Christ. You ought to decide that you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to use your conscience. Allow the Holy Spirit to use the Bible. Allow the Holy Spirit to use patterns as Christ and those changed by Christ. And allow the Holy Spirit, if you will, to give you personal guidance as to the what you're supposed to do and the where you're supposed to do it. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now, Father, bless, we do pray tonight. Thank you for the Bible study.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.